Good afternoon. Welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Tracy, who I think I hear in the background right there. Yeah, is that you, Tracy?
Yes, great. Thank you, Jen. I just kept you muted. Good. I'm glad I'm where I need to be.
Some phone difficulties on my end. Our line kept dropping, so I think that's what the confusion was.
Oh, great.
So you're here this afternoon to talk with us about a very fun topic. You are one who's been training to offer the recording and listening practice to people out in the world, and one of the groups of folks that you've been working with is students, and in particular middle school students. So just hearing about it has been so much fun, and we thought it would be fun to have you on the show to talk about what that's been like, working with that group of people with the recording and listening practice.
Sure. And before I talk about the working with the middle school kids, should I speak about the curriculum at all? I know that someone we listened to, a participant on Good News Update in the fall, who had gone through the curriculum, but I didn't know if I should give our listeners just a brief overview of about the curriculum, or should I just start talking about the kids?
Well, you know, I think it probably would be enough to just let folks know that there is such a thing.
Okay.
And you're right, we talked about that in the fall, and gosh, I can't remember right the second, Tracy, but I know we've had another time, but that there is a recording and listening training curriculum that people can sign up for, I think, individually, as well as in more of a group form, and that's, I think, what you walked the middle school students through. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. And the curriculum is a 6-week curriculum, and it's entirely experiential. And so what's really, it's a brilliant curriculum. It's brilliant in just my experience of being on the facilitation end and the experience and the participant end. It seems to, at least for me, just kind of demystify what recording and listening is. Like, what are we doing? And so instead of it being conceptual, you know, we say, you know, oh, go do this. And then, you know, typical Zen, well, what are you noticing? Okay, go do this. What are you noticing? And both with the adults and the kids, what has been so incredible is to witness, you know, that movement from, you know, what we are, you know, what our habit is to go to, you know, conditioned mind and what's wrong and everything, to directing attention to what is actually so, gratitude and kindness and love. And what was so wonderful with the kids is, you know, in the beginning, both with the adults and the kids, you know, there's a little bit of resistance, and the kids just said, wow, this is really weird. And it very quickly moved into, oh, my gosh, like, I've never looked at those things before. And the more I'm starting to do this practice, the more I'm noticing, you know, all the kindness and, oh, my gosh, there's so many successes. And so it started to gain momentum pretty quickly. And become something that was really fun.
That's so great. I just, as you're saying that, I just thought of, you know, what can be so helpful about young people is that they're often very willing to tell you what they're about their opinions, and that's really helpful because then you know what you're working with versus, you know, quote, adults who, you know, might be kind of back there thinking, well, this is kind of weird and stupid, but might not say it to you. But when they're willing to say it to you, then you can actually work with it. And then, like what you're saying is, as you worked with it, you were able to get past that pretty quickly.
It was amazing, actually, how quickly we moved past it. I think the shift that I saw, well, a couple of things. One is just having the support. I worked with a whole school, and so I worked with 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders and the teachers. So everyone was doing it, and the teachers had the students do the homework in class. So, I mean, the homework takes, you know, 3 to 5 minutes a day. It's very simple. And through that real support of having that support and using the tool for 3 to 5 minutes a day, the students mm-hmm. got to experience the benefits. So, I love that about recording and listening, because we're so often taught in concepts, which is something mm-hmm. the mind can digest, mm-hmm. but this was an experience. I know Sherry mentioned, like, you know, when I say someone, you know, explain avocado, and unless you have an avocado, it's hard to talk about an avocado. And this really moved them into the experience of, whatever that assignment was. And mm-hmm. it was so incredible to watch, the lit upness that would happen mm-hmm. after doing the assignments. And, you know, the teachers, you know, commented on just the depth that the students, like what they were able to notice and what they became aware of, was real palpable. And, you know, they saw, I guess I'll stop there before I.
Well, yeah, no, it's great. Please continue. It's so amazing to hear of young people having that experience, because I was just talking to someone who has a daughter who's that age, just entering that age, and how incredibly difficult and challenging that time can be. So to have this skill, and one of the things, Tracy, that was so, I think it was either in some of the things the students wrote about it that we got to read, or you said it or something, but just that where they're really getting it, that they have someone themselves who can be on their side and supporting them all the time. What an amazing thing to have at that age.
You know, Jen, it was amazing. And I, you know, that time for me was very difficult. And, you know, I that place of gratitude wants to give, you know, I definitely experienced that as such a vulnerable time, you know, personally. And mm-hmm. it wasn't really until I went to the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat that I actually had experience for the first time that I could trust my own experience. And what this recording and listening curriculum does is it gives the experience through the assignments. You know, the assignments are iterative, so they kind of build on each other over the 6 weeks. And mm-hmm. In one of the tools that we teach is, you know, the two-handed recording, where they actually, you know, really begin to start listening to themselves. And that particular exercise, I think, was a real game changer. And mm-hmm. the feedback that I got from the kids, the parents, some of the parents, mm-hmm. the teachers, is just that. You know, and the kids wrote it on the sheets that they wrote about the benefits, but that they could really start trusting, not only trusting themselves, but building confidence and really starting to look towards themselves to find solutions to problems. And it was really amazing. Like just at the very end, I had the kids write, you know, what were three benefits and three reasons why you'd want to continue. And mm-hmm. almost all of them said in benefits, you know, it makes me kinder and calmer and happier and more relaxed. And, you know, it's helping me with school, and it makes me feel heard. It makes me feel connected to myself. And, you know, why do we want to continue? You know, it's fun. It makes me happy. It makes me joyful. And, you know, I know where to get advice if I'm having a problem. And it's to me, it's just so practice. Where, you know, supposedly the Buddha taught we must work out our own salvation diligently. And in traditional, social conditioning, traditional learning, we're, you know, always looking to the outside. And really having a tool and that assists looking towards, you know, one's own experience and allowing the, you know, moving towards compassion and allowing, you know, life animating and the, you know, the intelligence to really to guide was something that, you know, that we that this curriculum was able to facilitate, which was really, really cool.
Wow. I mean, I just have goosebumps all over. I mean, I have the same experience listening to you now that I had when I was first hearing about it, which is like, okay, let's see, how can we get this on loudspeaker in every school in the country?
I know, you know, I'm there. Just,
oh, my gosh. But, you know, one other thing, because we do have to go, Tracy, but one other point I can't help but make before we end, which is just that beautiful articulation of the ripple effect of what an individual's practice. Because, you know, you talked about that that was a challenging time for you in your life. And, you know, whenever we have things like that built up, then there's all kinds of suffering and conditioning around it, right? And then you come to a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and at least from what you lay out, it sounds like what begins to happen is the transformation of that. And then not only does the suffering end for you around that, but then you become, you move to a place where you can actually offer from that, having moved through that yourself. It's just an amazing, amazing process.
It's really the best. It's so much fun. Just like a practice is so much fun. You know, conditioned mind thinks it's so daunting. And I'll just end on this note. I have done a bit of work with the kids post-curriculum, and I was working with a group of sixth graders, and one, there was a girl in that class that at the beginning, you know, the curriculum was a little, you know, one of the kids that was more resistant at the end of this last one, she said, I wish we could do this all day long.
And I thought,
that's really where we're going to live, like really living in that place that we get to, which is like living in that mystery of just being in life. And that's really what we're going for.
Exactly. And, I mean, you know, sky's the limit, really, Tracy, right? Because we could live there all the time. So imagine there you are doing your math homework and you're struggling and you're recording and you're going, okay, so what I'm seeing, I got, okay, the thing I want to get help with and the thing, now what I need to remember, the principles on, you know, and I love you and you're doing great. And, you know, it's just the potential is so gigantic. Yeah.
It is, and it's a great way to be. So, I'm super happy I had the opportunity, and can't say enough about the curriculum. It's just, it's very simple, which I love, just like life is very simple, and it's incredibly effective. It's fun.
Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for stopping and for being with us this afternoon.
Great, thanks.
Okay, take care. Bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Tracy. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Hey, before I ask you how you are and all of that, is it possible to get those two back on, or does technology not allow for that?
Let's see. Jen, certainly I can get back on. Let me see if Tracy is still. Yes, I see Tracy there, too. You want me to unmute him?
Yes, please.
Okay. There's Tracy. And one sec here. And there is Jen.
All right. Hey, gals. Are you both there?
Yes, I'm
here.
Okay, so Tracy, I remember, and I didn't want to say this because I might be remembering it incorrectly, but my memory is that after this program was finished or at the end of the program, the kids had a test, not of the program, but they had a school test, and they were able to use the tool of recording and listening to prepare themselves for the test. Am I remembering this accurately?
Yes. I actually went into the classroom before it and facilitated them doing a two-handed recording about, you know, whatever was coming up for them around the test, nervousness or worry or anxiousness. And the shift in the energy in that room was palpable afterwards.
Wow.
I hear that.
And I think you said they reported that, right, that they were so much calmer and it was easier for them to do and that sort of thing.
Yeah, good.
That was my favorite. And I just think when we're talking about the benefits of this, I mean, those of us who use the tool all the time and have seen the personal spiritual awareness transformation, you know, we're sold on it. But to realize, and what a wonderful thing, as we're saying, for kids to be able to, enter any phase of life, I suppose. We've had moms on the program talking about using it with their little tiny kids, and the kids can get into it and do it and enjoy it and that sort of thing. But going through puberty and high school and that sort of thing with this tool, wonderful, amazing, extraordinary. And there are a lot of folks who would be even more interested in it from that perspective of make school easier. Takes away some of the angst and anxiety that keeps kids from doing well on tests and makes them afraid of certain subjects and that sort of thing. So,
yes, and, absolutely.
And, you know,
go ahead, Jen. I was just going to say they some of the kids commented that what helped them so much with school too is really recording about the successes. And being able to go back and listen to that. And one boy said, you know, whenever I was having a hard time, I could go back and listen to that, and you know, that changed it. So, so really
of course,
that.
Go ahead. Well, that's what we all know, right? That there you are, you're coming up to a test, and what are the voices going to be saying? Not, oh, look how well you've always done in the past on tests, and you aced that one about, you know, it's, oh, my God, it's not going to, and you're going to, and all of those things. And so what a perfect support to have a recording about all of the successes. Have it right there to listen to as you're walking into the test.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something, Jen?
Yeah, just quickly, I was going to say, you know, what just keeps coming up as the two of you are talking is, and what it really does is it breaks down this myth of there's spirituality and then there's life, right? Because what we're going to all see through this process of recording is that a spiritual practice is simply living in compassion all the time, which is what's possible for all of us in everything we do.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it's so great. Just on compassion, there's one thing to get a definition of compassion, but actually grabbing the recording and learning to listen back, it's actual experience of compassion. And that is, you don't even need to have a conversation about spiritual or anything. It's just learning to be in compassion.
That's back to your avocado thing. Once we have the experience, we don't need to have a theoretical exploration of what you mean or what is spirituality. It's that. It's that thing you're experiencing right now. It's what you are. It's who you are.
Yeah.
That one with in this moment. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. It's very, very fun. Very cool. So thank you both for that.
I really
appreciate it. I hope I live long enough for this to catch on, because I am absolutely confident that it's going to. I just don't know how long it's going to take. So I'm glad for every opportunity that arises for us to spread the word. And I think Tracy's pretty open to teaching any people who want to have this experience. So, and we do have a program that people can go through to be trained in offering it. We discourage people from, you know, just like the rest of awareness practice, you know, we hope people won't go through the there's nothing wrong with you retreat and go home and try to, from memory, do it with their friends and family. And in the same way, we hope people won't just get a bunch of tools together and go out and offer it, because what's really offered along with this is the presence of the facilitator. And that's something that we don't get from, you know, reading a website or a book or talking mm-hmm. to friends or whatever. So, but it is available. Yeah.
It is available.
We're going to spread it.
Yes, and just having the support, like even having a, you know, even if it's outside of a school setting, like a parent and a child doing it together, where, you know, there's a community of people doing it, I think is incredibly supportive. So you don't feel so
yes.
alone with this kind of thing that's a little bit different.
Yeah, and one of the other things that I remember, I think I got this from what you said, that the kids didn't go through a lot of the agony that adults do about, oh, what if somebody hears me, or, you know, what if somebody finds my recorder and listens to what I said? They seemed to move through that fairly quickly, too.
They did, yes. The word they used was, it's weird, but they seemed to get moved through that quickly. And then, Sherry, it moved to, this is the new cool thing. And then it also moved to, this is something we can use in the real world. That's like different than
uh-huh.
they had someone come in to teach meditation, but this thing is what we can do in the real world.
Wow. That's great. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you,
Jen.
Thanks, Sherry.
Michael.
Okay. Yes.
How are you?
I am fabulous, and even more fabulous after listening to that conversation. So it's
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It really is. It's, yeah. As I'm fond of saying, it's an extraordinary time to be alive.
Yes. Yes. With the practice that you and the monks have developed and, you know, the Sangha that has grown and is using these tools and,
mm-hmm.
you know, is inspired to share them in the ways that Tracy is. It's just fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That, somebody just said it. Gratitude wants to give. I think that was
gratitude.
Jen. And
yes,
it's the truth.
True.
When our lives are changed, we get very excited about other people having the same opportunity if they want it.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you doing on this warm day?
Good. I just, as I'm sure you know, I had the pleasure on, what day was it, Sunday, of officially starting an email class. And so that definitely keeps me, as they say, off the streets. And but it's fun. It's fun. Two, relationship and the Enneagram. How could you put two more interesting topics together? I don't think you
yes.
could. And so it's already being a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it. And the weather is gorgeous. And, you know, there's just no complaints. Just absolutely no complaints.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. And I have announcements here.
Oh, good.
To get away from the daily routine and deepen awareness practice, join Sangha for a practice weekend, May 27th through 29th, at the beautiful Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California.
Mm-hmm.
And this weekend includes guidance and a practice opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful, Michael. It is just so beautiful here now. I
yes.
know it's spring, so it's beautiful in a lot of places, but oh, this place is just peaking.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats offer an opportunity to do the compassionate and courageous work of freeing oneself from the ravages of conditioning and self-hate. These foundational retreats in North Carolina, June 30th through July 7th, and at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, August 3rd through 10th, are perfect for beginners and experienced practitioners alike.
Mm-hmm.
And the retreat that is like no other retreat is back. The
I know.
Practice,
I'm so excited.
The What You Practice Is What You Have retreat, from July 15th through 22nd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, is an advanced retreat and requires a deep grounding in Zen awareness practice.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to come to it and they've been doing other things, you know, the radio show or email classes or that sort of thing, but they haven't done, there's nothing wrong with you, then they can race off to North Carolina if there's still spaces in that. I don't know. Do that and then come back to what you practice is what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And a reminder that we are on Bamboozle number 5, Illusion of Control, with the assignment for week 1.
It's so fun, Michael, because in the email class, this may come as a shock, but control seems to be a big part of many relationships. The desire for and the inability to get.
Yeah.
So that goes very nicely together.
Yeah, the illusion of.
The illusion of, yeah.
Yes. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes would be great. And I think we're ready, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sylvia from Connecticut.
Hi, Sylvia. How are you doing?
Wow. Good, and you? It's my first time calling.
I suspected that.
Yeah, I was already.
I hadn't talked to you before.
No. I am actually, I'm doing the email class with you guys, and I'm enjoying it.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I did another email class last year, and I thought, look, I'm going to do this one now. Yeah, it was very useful.
Oh, good. Good. What do you remember what that one was on? I don't remember what we did last
that
year.
That was the money and sex.
Ah, yes, yes. Two other good subjects.
Yeah.
How can you not have fun when you do awareness practice with topics like sex, money, relationship?
Heaven the relationships one, I think, it's wonderful. These email classes are very good.
Oh, good. Good.
One of the reasons I decided to call is because when I thought about calling today, then I started hearing all these voices resisting to it. And then the sooner I was getting closer to the time of calling, the more voices that were getting all crazy about all these things I need to do. And yeah. And then it's like,
the laundry, the dishes, get down on your hands and knees and mop the floor, call people you don't like, anything.
Yes. So I'm like, I have to call now. I have to do it. So another one of the reasons I'm calling is because I've been reading your books. They're wonderful, and I'm very thankful about the work you do and with the Sangha. And I've been reading everything, all the books, and reread them for a couple of years, 2-3 years, but not until recently I started, like, a recording and listening practice. And it took me a while to start to first believe that that could be something worthwhile trying. That was a process already. And then once I got through trying it, then I've been quite good at doing recordings, but it's very difficult for me to listen to them. I have a resistance. Yeah.
How come?
And I know I record good stuff. I know that I try to record when I'm in a good mood, when I'm in a good, not in a good mood, in a good awareness moment. But then it's just hard. Yeah.
And so what happens? Well, I mean, I know
kind of
you know. Clearly, you know what resistance is and how that shows up and what the voices are and that sort of thing. So it's a fear. Does it just kind of take over your body?
Yeah, and it's kind of like because I came to a conclusion that kind of my thoughts are not trustworthy a lot of the times. I cannot trust my thoughts because they are their voices. So some part of me is saying, wow, if I listen to me, can I trust me in that recording, kind of? Because, you know what I mean? But at the same time,
I do.
There's a little bit of sadness, too. It's very bizarre.
Oh. Yeah. Well, no, it's not. It's absolutely, we could say, predictable. Okay, so
really?
here's how I would break it down. So you are aware of resistance. You know what it is. You hear the voices. You know what they're trying to do, and you got it that the recordings you want to make are recordings when you're present, when you're lit up, when you're in awareness, when you're right. You're in a.
Yes.
You're not bogged down in the voices and that sort of thing. So
yes.
The last thing that negative system of ego maintenance wants is for you to be listening to that stuff. Because
if you're going
around and it's meh in your ear, and maybe you're not really paying attention to it, but it's doing enough to kind of suck the energy out of you, right? You know, you would be happy, except it's just dropping in these little negative things regularly, right? And that's how it controls a human being. That's how it keeps us focused on it, giving it attention, right? So now you're going to start listening to these, we could say, positive or real or true or whatever, recordings, and that's going to shift your attention away from what that suffering system is doing and bring your attention mm-hmm. into the present. It doesn't want that to happen. So how's it going to do that? It can't scream, oh my God, I'm terrified that you're going to listen to good stuff, and right? But
yes,
it plants these little seeds of doubt. Well,
yes.
How do you know that's not conditioning? Well, how do you know
yes.
you can trust that? Yeah?
Yes.
It's evil.
Yes.
It's
yes,
evil, isn't it?
Yes,
yes,
it is. It's very evil, but very smart, too.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, if we take it back to relationship, right? So you meet somebody new in your life, and it doesn't matter what kind of relationship it is. You know, it's a friend, it's a coworker, it's a romance, it's a whatever. It doesn't matter. And you really like this person. They're really a great human being. And you just mm-hmm. you just love to be around them, and you feel it lit up, and you just really are enjoying yourself. And here come the voices. Well, how do you know that this person is who you think they are?
I see.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it, again,
yeah,
it just plants those little seeds. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's doing it across
the
board all the time. Because here's the bottom line: it wants to be your only relationship,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
It wants all your
okay.
attention, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and when I was hearing the conversation before about the practice with the kids and the family and the parents, one thing that was mentioned at the end is that to listen, you have to have compassion, and it didn't occur to me. It's kind of, I don't know. You have to be ready to listen to yourself already, or be willing to trust in the process too. So I think
yes.
I have to just do it. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Because
yeah.
you're the only one that can save her.
Yeah.
Right? You're the only
yeah.
one who can offer her unconditional love and acceptance and be with her, talk with her, listen to her, love her unconditionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
yes.
And yep. And this is the process that will allow you to do it. And here's you can trust me on this one, okay? Over mm-hmm. time, you will be able to hear immediately where something is coming from. You'll be able
okay.
to hear it in you. So in the beginning, people are really confused. You know, is that conditioning or is that
mm-hmm,
center?
Yes.
But after a while, you're not confused. And here's the really cool part. You can begin to hear it in everybody else.
Okay.
You can hear when somebody is speaking authentically, speaking from their heart, from center, and when they're speaking from the voices. Because they sound really, really different. It is as simple as from presence, there's kindness and compassion, and from ego, there is everything else. You know, there's the sneaky, manipulative, kind of chipping away at, trying to make somebody anxious and fearful, lacking confidence, feeling inadequate. All that stuff comes from
ego. Nasty.
Okay. So you're going to risk it. You're going to risk it for her, right? Because she's dead.
Yeah, no, I have to do it.
Definitely worth saving. Yeah, you have to.
The same thing I did tonight that I called, I have to listen.
That's right.
To myself.
That's right. That's right. And was this fun? Did you enjoy this?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. I think I'm going to call again.
There you go. Good. And the same thing will happen with listening. You're going to love it.
I see.
You're just going to love it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I'm very, very inspired now. Thank you so much.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah,
call off and let me know how it goes.
Okay, I will, definitely.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Michael. Thank you so much, Sherry. Gasho.
Gasho.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sylvia. That was a fun conversation, Sherry. Very inspiring.
Yeah.
Great.
I just love it. These people are just out there practicing. We don't know that they're out there, and then all of a sudden we get to hear them on the radio show. How fun is that?
Or get to
see them at a retreat, which I got to tell you is equally fun. When we were in North Carolina, there were some people there who had never been on. I'd never been on retreat with them before. And it's so fun.
Wow.
It's such a great way to be with people.
It is a great way to be with people. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be right back.
All right. I'll be right here.
Wonderful.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes, and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen awareness coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then programs to find Zen awareness coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Sherry? Hi, this is Heather. Hey.
Well, Heather, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great. Having a wonderful time. What's going on?
Yeah, well, this is my first time calling into the radio show, and I'm just having a lot of conditioning coming up, and I was calling to get just some guidance about it.
Little support, little encouragement, things like that.
Yeah, definitely,
Okay.
So I just got home, a few months ago. It's been about 3 months from about 7 months abroad in Southeast Asia. And what I'm experiencing since coming home is just a lot of, when I first got home, I felt very kind of awake, expansive, very open to life. How I feel when I'm practicing daily. And as the 3 months have kind of gone by and I'm looking for new work and making big life decisions, I'm just noticing that I'm getting, conditioning is just completely taken me over. Specifically, the content is about kind of where I'm moving next, what job I'm going to be taking. And I just need some guidance in terms of kind of getting back into relationship with life and just giving myself some support.
Well, let me ask you this, Heather. What do you want from life? How do you want your life to be?
I want to be happy in my job, and I want to do something that makes a difference, and part of my karma, I suppose, is kind of this never-ending sense of feeling lost in life. And I worked on that a lot before I left on my travels. And I thought leaving on my travels would help me gain clarity. And it felt like it did while I was there. But now that I'm back, I can see the process. I've fallen right back into feeling lost, trying to make these big decisions about my future. I don't necessarily know if I should talk about the content, but I'm having something that conditioning is just beating me over the head with. So as far as what I want in my life, I feel like that's a big place that conditioning kind of beats me up.
Okay, let me ask you this, Heather. Let me ask you this. What is the difference between when you were there and when you're here in terms of process? Is it that you didn't have to make big life decisions? You didn't, you weren't, yeah, I'll just ask you that.
Yeah, I think while I was there, I felt more, connected to life. Everything was new and exciting, and I felt happier with less than I have here. I just felt more kind of in the flow of life. I was more accepting of things. I mean, I had a lot of things that occurred over there that were, I mean, had they occurred here, would have been horrible. But there, while I was there, I was able to just know that that was par for the course and part of traveling. And I think I, like, let go of a lot of control when I was there.
Uh-huh. And now now it feels like you got to get a grip. Right? You got to figure out where you're going to go and what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah. And it better be the right decision.
Because
if it's not, then you're going to be unhappy.
And you have to ask it, right? More unhappy than you're making me right now? You mean if I make a bad decision, you're going to torture me more than you're torturing me now? Really? How is that possible?
Yeah, that's a really good, amazing point.
So actually, you decided to go to Southeast Asia for a while, and you went there, and then you decided to come here, and you came here, and it was all fine. So if you did something else and then you decided to do something else, possibly that could be fine too?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, certainly. I think, and I don't know if this is conditioning. Basically, I've been applying to a million jobs in a million different places, and they're all desirable jobs, except for the one that I've been offered a position at. And
the one you shouldn't have applied to.
Exactly, exactly. So there's a sense of responsibility to take this position that I really don't want to take, but it's the only thing I've got on my plate right now, and it feels like the right thing to do.
It feels like the should thing to do.
Yes, yes, yes.
Uh-huh, which is not necessarily the same as the right thing, right? But you need a job, and so here's a job, and so you really should take it since.
Right.
So let me ask you this. What do you believe about how life works in the sense of being sort of guided, or do you trust that you're in the right place to have the experiences that you need to have? Do you feel sort of guided and directed by life, or do you feel like you're out there on your own and it's all up to you, and if you make a bad choice, then it's going to be horrible?
I feel... Yes, I have a huge sense of feeling guided by life, and I feel like I've always had a huge sense of that. I mean, I certainly have made decisions, I mean, way back when that I couldn't explain at that point didn't feel the need to. So I certainly have a sense of trusting life, but then, mm-hmm. but on the other hand, big decisions are really difficult for me. It's a pattern. I can look at it over and over and over. It's talking to you right now in my heart. I feel like I know what I need to do with this job offer.
Which is? Let's get it out there.
To not take it. I mean, to graciously decline the job offer.
I had that feeling myself, Heather.
Yeah. So I guess it's interesting to say out loud because I know it. I just want somehow to feel validated or supported, or to someone let me know I'm making the right decision, which I guess is where the mentor can come in.
Yes, yes. And so just a little philosophy. I don't know if it'll be helpful or not. But if we view life as always for us, then we know that each step of the way we are receiving exactly what we need, what's best for us. It doesn't mean we always like it, because those voices in our head will complain about everything, anything. But if we realize that this, doing this and getting that kind of reaction from egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate might just be my best opportunity to see how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is running my life, and might be my best opportunity to make a choice to stop it from doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to get into a situation and from the perspective of, and it could be I'm not going to take that job, which would be a situation to be in, and to simply say, the job, my job right now is to stop being controlled by those voices. Stop being run by fear and self-hatred. That's my job. That's what I'm doing. So it doesn't matter where I am, what my activities are, that's my job, because I'm never going to have any freedom until I take care of that. After I take care of that, then I can go anywhere, do anything, and I'm going to be a happy human. Until then, I can go anywhere, do anything, and I'm going to be an unhappy human.
Yeah. Is it okay? I mean, I just this past week, I've thrown myself into awareness coaching, into the email class. I've made commitments. And I have until July 11th is when I'm supposed to start this new job. And I'm conditioning is making it feel very urgent that I need to make a decision today about it. But I've committed myself to practice, I mean, more so than usual because I do have a lot of time on my hands and I am being controlled by conditioning. Is it okay to just kind of focus on my practice for a few weeks and see? I mean,
absolutely.
Conditioning is telling me that's not okay because you owe it to this position. You need to let them know. But, I mean, I suppose it makes
but
sense
actually,
to make that decision.
Well, the thing is, if you don't make the decision in a timely manner and they get what they consider a timely manner and they get a better offer, they'll offer the job to that person and there the decision will be made. But to operate from urgency is never going to work in our favor because it's always ego and it's always trying to mess us up.
Well,
so, you could do, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I have accepted the job and I'm going through a 3-month credentialing process that is just, I mean, very high stress and a lot of work. And I'm every day doing all of this leg work to go through the credentialing process and beating myself up because I'm doing it. But
you're being beaten up.
Yeah, yes, exactly. But I just, it's like, am I going to get the day before my start date and then say, never mind? I mean, that makes me feel horrible, too. So I'm just not.
Well, how about if you look at the calendar and you weigh all of these things and you come up with a date and that's the date on which you will make the decision. And then you'll get with me before that date, and we'll do a little process that will assist you in making the decision.
That
How about that?
Wonderful. I have a giant smile on my face. That sounds wonderful.
Okay, and there's one other piece to it, okay? There's one other
okay.
piece to it. And that is that your work between now and then is to commit to saying, I am not listening to any voices inside my head in any conversation about anything at all, period. I'm simply going to be here and practice being present in the moment. That's what I'm doing. So when they come in, you just say, no, 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 we're not doing that. And you bring your attention back to the present.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Take care, Heather.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Heather. Another inspiring conversation, Sherry. It's great to see that willingness and fire to practice there.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's so important for all of us, right? I mean, it's whatever those voices are doing to any one of us. The response is the same. You know, as long as we are being victimized by them, we are never going to have any peace and we're never going to have any happiness. And, of course, they want us to believe that, yeah, but if you just make the right decision and do the right thing, we'll shut up and leave you alone and you'll be happy. Well, that's never happened, and there's no reason to think it's going to happen. And so what we want to do is practice being a happy person now, which, as far as I can tell, happens immediately when the conversation in the head stops. We turn our attention away from it, and so that's what we practice. And everything else is going to fall in place. Everything. Everything. When we are no longer being victimized by those voices, all the magic happens, right? Suddenly, you know, the right people show up and the right things to do show up, and the right everything shows up because right meaning right for us. Because yeah. we're here in life, and life is always choosing us.
Wow, that's my experience for sure.
Yeah, it's a true story.
Yes, and let's talk to another caller.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yay! It's Jodine from San Francisco.
Well, hello, Jodine. How are you doing?
Well, I haven't been able to call in for like 6 months, and actually, I can only call when I have vacation or a holiday on Tuesdays because I'm always working at the time of the show. Last month I had a Tuesday off, and so I called in, you know, but I hadn't called in for a long time, and I actually hadn't been able to listen to the show for a while, and I didn't get on, and at the very end, I realized that I hadn't pressed *6.
Oh!
Because I was, like, so out of practice.
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
but fortunately, your practice is such that you didn't allow a beating for that, right?
No, I didn't. I actually laughed and realized like how much more present I was on the entire call. You know, thinking that I could be next.
Uh-huh.
I want to follow up on that call from 6 months ago because actually. Somebody has called in about a very similar thing. And what I was calling about was that I was feeling very depressed when I called 6 months ago. And one of the things that is so hard for me when I'm depressed, and actually almost every day, is how horrible I feel when I first wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about, you know, how that looks for me and stuff. And you gave me the guidance to just change up my morning routine a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was going on was that I was rushing to an early morning swim team practice a couple days a week.
Uh-huh.
Which was really important for me in terms of how important exercise is for everything, for how I want to be, you know, just for my general well-being. Your guidance was we don't want to get into urgency, you know, first thing in the morning, like, you know. Conditioning just wins automatically. You asked me, what do I do first thing in the morning? Do I provide for myself something that's going to, help that person who's struggling?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I realized, like, absolutely not. I wasn't really doing anything for that person except, like, recognizing that she struggles. And
hustle her out the door.
I'm sorry you're feeling this way, but we got to go. There's a program, you know. And, mm-hmm. And you'll be, you know, later you'll be glad that I dragged you, you know, out the door. And so, and also my Zen awareness coach helped me with this because one thing I realized was that there was a conversation going on every morning about when was I going to brush my teeth. Oh my goodness. Which is crazy, right? It's like, okay, if I stay in bed too long and then I get up and I'm putting my swim bag together, you know, it's like, oh, am I going to brush my teeth now or later, you know? So I don't know how much the content of this is important, but what you just said reminds me
of two little kids in the back of a car on a road trip with their parents, and the one is just poking the other one, you know, just reaches over and pokes him until the one just goes nuts, right? The one who's being poked. And it's like that. Are you going to brush your teeth now? Are you going to brush your teeth later? Are you going to do it now? When are you going to do it? When are you going to brush your teeth? Going to brush your teeth later? What if you forget? What if you don't brush your teeth? You better brush them now. It's like Chinese torture, right?
Yeah. Drip, it's like, and it's drip, like posing. Drip. It's posing as like that it's in your favor, or that it's trying to help you.
Yeah, your friend.
Right, but it's not.
Yeah, it's your friend.
Yeah.
No, it is not.
Yeah. So.
So what did you come up with?
So I came up with, first of all, I have a reassurance track that I listen to before I get out of bed. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And then.
Excellent. A morning recording.
Yes.
A must have.
Although it could. Recently, I realized that it may be time to change that up a bit too. But there's the recording. I also tell myself, which I could put on the recording, this may be the worst moment of your day.
Because it often is.
And like when I'm in the depths of it, I don't think that much about, you know, half an hour from now when you're in the pool, you're going to start feeling really good. You know?
Uh-huh.
So I brush my teeth.
This is probably the worst moment of my day, and I'm fine. Could be.
I'm fine. I'm here with you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I brush my teeth. And then I put a smiley face on the calendar or something, like a check on the calendar. And then, which is right next to the bathroom mirror. And then I go and I record two hands dialogue with the mentor for 10 minutes.
Mm. Nice.
Then I go do whatever's on the schedule, and this has revolutionized my entire life.
Wow.
I mean, and I think that the incredible thing about it was that when the guidance was coming in about, you know, well, how are you, you know, what are you doing? And it just dropped in that I was creating that morning experience I was having every day.
Mm.
And I could create something else.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It wasn't, you know, conditioning wasn't creating it. Conditioning was, like, victimizing this vulnerable person.
Yes. Yeah. And there was no help for her. Nobody was standing up for her. No support.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that, like, in combination with the email class that started in February about the Socratic email class, I just had this experience of like months of just no interest in the conversation anymore. Like you were saying to the previous caller, like, okay, between now and that date that I pick, I'm not going to entertain any stories anytime about anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like,
and we
oh
can do
my
that.
God.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible. Like, Yeah, so yay, I got on. I just had to put that out there. And someone else had called in, Jim, I think, from South Carolina, had called in about first thing in the morning, just being, you know, just that most horrible time.
Most vulnerable. And most vulnerable most for vulnerable. Us depression types.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And it is not... you know, it doesn't have to be that way, is my experience now.
Yeah. Yes. We do, but what you're saying, Jodine, is that we have to make the commitment, which is what we were talking about with Sylvia, right? We have to make the commitment to the person. Mm-hmm. So there's that person who's really struggling. And in this case, in your case, in my case, me, in your case, you, are the only mm-hmm. one who can help her. And so you make that commitment that it doesn't matter. These are the things that I'm going to do to help this person, and you do it. You do those things,
yeah.
And it works.
Including, like, I need support to remember what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, knowing that, like I need to have it kind of, you know, I need to have the recorder set and ready.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Right there, first thing I see.
Yeah. So, and the mm-hmm. the other thing about it that is so profound is there's how conditioning tries to make everything mean something.
Yes.
You know, just put meaning onto everything. Because it would always want to tell me that how I felt in that waking moment was my fault somehow. And
that's
I'm
so
actually
cruel,
coming
isn't it?
To believe it is. I'm actually very open to the possibility right now because of, like, things I've found out that I feel that way because I have obstructive sleep apnea, and it wasn't treated for a long time, and now the treatment I'm getting for it may not quite be quite great, whatever. But, like, I think I may, like, biochemically feel that way. You know, it's not like some kind of emotional weakness of mine or something. Like, I think that I may just feel that way because I don't get enough oxygen at night.
Well, yeah, you know, and
who knows?
Yes, and there's the meaning, right? So to me, that's very much like, you know, what you were saying about the morning thing, or when we say, you know, if you're going to make up a reality, which everybody is, if you're making up a reality anyway, make up one that's happy. Make up one that you like, right? So if you're going to listen to stories in your head, make them good stories. Make them happy stories. And in the same way, we don't know why anything is the way it is, but the voice that says or implies that this is happening because it's your fault, well, that's a lion sack of stuff. And what we call that, of course, is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. So, no, is nothing is our fault. Everything, though, is our opportunity.
Wow, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. So just to see that it would put meaning on anything, you know.
Oh,
like,
anything, everything. Everything. And the meaning is, you've done something wrong. There is something wrong. There's not enough.
Yeah.
There's a problem. You need to suffer. That's what everything means when we're listening to that system, right? Which is a huge argument and inspiration for not listening to it.
Yeah, and a huge motivation once you've, like, seen through it in the way that I did. Then, like, the motivation to just drop it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's yeah. okay to just drop this because I dropped that and it was the right thing to do or something, you know, like, I don't know
That's
if I'm
right.
making any sense, but.
Well, we can drop everything and just land right here in the moment. We don't need to be carrying anything. We don't need to worry about anything. We don't need to do anything. We don't need to become anything or fix or change anything. We can just drop right here into the moment, and everything is provided for us. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. It's
Amen.
Good and it's true. Well, thank you, my dear. I'm glad you had tonight off. Glad you pressed star six. Glad we got to check in on you, find out how you're doing. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Take
yeah.
good care of yourself, as
Thanks.
I know you will.
Oh, I will. Okay. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, good. Thanks, Judy.
Thanks,
good night.
Michael. Thanks for the show every week.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Good night.
Our pleasure, huh, Michael?
Yes, it is. You know, and mm-hmm. I think we have our homework now. You know, we haven't given homework in years, Sherry, and I just heard you say drop it all.
Drop it all. Drop it,
drop
all.
It all.
And, you know, if that sounds like a big assignment for somebody, so Heather's going to,
yes.
you know, drop it until her date, whatever that is, that she comes up with.
Yes.
But so if that seems too big, just start, drop it for 10 minutes. You know, then move up to an hour. You know, just but prove to yourself that you can drop it. Yeah. So that
yes.
the old "you're not the boss of me." Well, that's not the boss of any of us, and we can drop it. We can quit that assignment whenever we want to. We can
Wonderful.
Leave that position. Yep.
Great.
All right.
Great.
Yes.
Thank
yes,
you, Sherry.
Indeedy. Thank you, Michael. Talk to you next week.
Okay, great. Good night.
Okay, bye.